This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
I imagine there's not too many of you, just by the raising of your hands, do you know what Montgomery Ward is? There's a few of you, yes. A lot of you are like, what? Which is amazing. Montgomery Ward was a department store that no longer exists, like a lot of department stores. And this is just a side note about the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Mr. Ward was giving out coloring books for his department store, and but was paying someone to do that. So he decided to go in-house, and he had someone that could do a little artwork. And his name is Robert May, and he's the one that came up with the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. In 1939, 2.4 million copies were handed out that year. And even though there was a wartime, they still soon after handed out 6 million copies by 1946. And he was inspired by the story of the Ugly Duckling, which some of you might know. And, of course, part of it was from his own personal experience of being taunted when he was a young, frail boy. Later on, it became very famous, as you probably know, but the writer's wife had passed away from sickness, and they were, the rights belonged to Montgomery Ward, not to him as the writer, but Montgomery Ward was handed over the rights, the copyrights, to Mr. May, but his wife had passed because they needed to pay medical bills. Of course, later on, people were not sure if they wanted to compete with Santa Claus, and so they were afraid to attach their names to to Rudolph. But later on, of course, they did. Bing Crosby later on, and then 1964 became a television special with Burl Ives. It's one of our at least Robin and I's family favorite. We like to watch it from time to time. It brings back great memories. How many remember seeing it on black and white television? Yeah, me too. So we look forward to it. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. And it's just got one slide, and it's really simple. It's the people who miss Christmas. My short sermon today is I'm hoping that none of us fall prey to what these, we're going to talk about three different characters that will fall prey, and Christmas is tomorrow. It really is a season. It's a time, you know, it's the weeks before Christmas and the weeks after. And I pray that all of us can be challenged by what we're reading here in Luke chapter 2. And it says this, at the time of the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire, all returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, and he took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged and now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room at the inn. There was no lodging for them. Now, I want you to think about this. And I shared a little bit this past Sunday last week about this. In Luke chapter 2, this is the story of the birth of Christ. And I want you to specifically look at verse 7, and I want us to point out some highlights to illustrate the matter of how easy it is to miss the true meaning of Christmas. In verse 7, it says, Mary, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and he laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Of course, we know the story from different versions in Scripture, but there was an innkeeper who was there, and the innkeeper missed Christmas. It was right in front of him. He had a pregnant woman in front of him, and he missed it. He had this lady that was expecting to have a child, but there was no room for him. Now, if you've been here throughout the years, you know that we think, and we don't really know, we're speculating here, but it's a good speculation, that it was most likely like a, let's call it an Airbnb that had a open basement to the outdoors, and that's where they would keep the animals. And so that's where Jesus most likely was born. It's this house that had places for animals to be kept underneath for safety reasons. Now, we do know that Middle Eastern people are very hospitable. We know that Jewish people are very hospitable. But in this situation, this did not happen. These people, the people of those times were very, they weren't barbaric. They were kind to strangers. They were civilized. They were intelligent people, educated people who understood the value of human life. But this situation, in this story, they're going to leave a woman to be alone and let her have her birth by herself. The Bible says that Mary brought forth her son, and she wrapped him in swaddling cloths. Mary did not have a midwife. Typically, in those days, you would have someone to help, a mom, an aunt, a midwife. But there was nothing. The innkeeper, even though he could see that she was very soon to have baby or even in labor, didn't do much to help her. Didn't ask his wife to maybe come and help her. Ask a friend to come to her assistance. He was missing the Jesus that was being born. The Bible says that Jesus was going to be despised and rejected, and it happened immediately. He was born in an animal feeding trough and in swaddling clothes. And basically, just so you know, that long strips of cloth weren't really used for infants. But they were here. And no midwife, no friend, no cousin, no one to help her. She had a lonely birth. And so the innkeeper, I'd like for us to focus on, missed it. The Bible historian tells us that, just think of this pathos, this situation where she brings forth a son and she wraps him in swaddling clothes. He's beautiful, but he's alone. It's a tragic story. The loneliness of that hour when a woman should be surrounded by someone to help and care for in those tender moments, Mary was alone. And Luke says, and he writes this distinctly, with her own hand, she wrapped the baby with her swaddling cloths, and she laid him, she did the laying in the manger. There was no one there to do it for her. Now, we don't know much about the innkeeper because the Bible didn't say too much about the innkeeper. But we could tell from the story, just reading it, it doesn't sound like he was very interested. So his lack of interest excluded him from many details of the story. But I think his lack of interest says a lot. Some people feel that Jesus was born in a stable, and we have pictures and Christmas cards. You might have gotten a Christmas card of Jesus in a stable. But as I'm sharing, he was under the house. It wasn't a concern for him. And so this innkeeper misses it. And how does he miss it? I would say because he's preoccupied. And this is the challenge of our country. And this is the challenge for our church, if we would be serious about not missing Jesus during Christmas. All of us, and I'm including myself, we can easily be caught up in being preoccupied. So busy that we don't have time for Jesus. So busy getting things for our kids and getting all the decorations ready and getting family, you know, getting your house ready for family. Those are all great things, but if we're not careful, we can be so preoccupied, we would miss Jesus. We would miss Jesus. And our culture is mandated. It's like forcing us to lose focus on the true meaning of Christmas. It's like, you ever seen a ring and a cattle's nose, and it's easily to be pulled along. And that's what culture is trying to do to us, telling us what things to buy, what things we need to get, what things need to happen on Christmas Day. And you have to have all these things in order to have that perfect event, and you miss the true meaning and the purpose of Christmas. And I pray that none of us get so preoccupied that you miss Christmas. Sometimes we get so caught up in what kind of TVs we're going to get, or what's the latest gadgets we're going to get, or all those things can so easily preoccupy our hearts, our minds, and our time that we don't take time to adore the King of Kings. It's easy for us to do that. So my challenge for you this morning is don't be pulled around by some tyrant, controlling world that's telling you what to do and how to do it, that we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, and take time to hear and take time to just sit in peace and just wonder and ponder and admire the birth of Jesus and what it stands for and who he is. He was the innkeeper maybe didn't know, because he didn't know who Jesus is, and I would call it ignorant preoccupation. He didn't know who Christ was. It's sad to think that there are people, maybe even in this room, that don't even know who Jesus is, haven't taken the time to look into it, to read a Bible, or to just talk to someone about it. And so whether it was ignorant or he was aware, it's still the same. There's a missing of who Jesus is, and the innkeeper missed it. I don't want to take too much more time, but I do want to talk about one more person. I was going to talk about three, but I'll just do one more. In Matthew, it says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in chapter 2, verse 1, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there was wise men from the east, where he was born. Now watch this, King of the Jews, for we have seen his star in the east and are coming to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men and inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring me word again that I might come and worship him also. You guys know the story. King Herod was trying to pretend and tell these wise men that he was going to worship Jesus. But we know through the scriptures that he was afraid. He was fearful. And I imagine panic set in, because he's had to fight and claw his way to his position of kingship over that region. He's had to do things to get his way up the ladder. And I believe, even though the Bible says that it was agitated, it's more than that. It was more, he was shaken up. He was in total panic. Why? Why was he in total panic of a little baby? Because he was afraid of another king. He was afraid that someone else was going to take his spot like he took someone else's spot. And so I don't have time to tell you, but he was not a nice guy. He did a lot of evil things to get to his position. And he was not going to let anybody take his position. There was no way he was going to allow someone to take his place on the throne. So he panics out of fear, out of anxiety, out of insecurities. And so what does he do? He sends the word out that, let's go find him. Let's go find him so we can worship him. But that was not the case. We know all sorts of sad stories about what King Herod did to keep his throne. So how did he miss Christmas? He missed it by allowing fear, jealousy, anxiety take over his life instead of seeking the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings. Many people, like King Herod, then of course they're not going to do evil things like he's done, but basically they're driven by the same motivation. Herod's fear was to let somebody else take his throne, and that was fear. And as I said, there's a lot of people, I believe, feel that way. They don't They believe in God. There's no problem with believing God. A lot of people believe in God. We walk around campus sometimes. Do you believe in God? And everybody says yes. Do you believe that God made the universe? We usually get a yes of some sort. Do you believe that God sent his son to die on the cross for our sins? And you'd be amazed how many people believe that is true. Do you think Jesus will come back again? It's amazing the population will say yes. Are you willing to bend your knee and proclaim allegiance to King Jesus and now say that you're no longer in charge, but Jesus is in charge? And all of a sudden you get, whoa, let's take it easy. Or as my friends would say, take it easy. I can say that. He missed Christmas out of fear and anxiety because he doesn't want anybody to take his spot. Herod was not about to let some little child interfere with his career, with his position, with his power and his ambition, and with his plans for his own life and his lifestyle. He was not about to let anybody be the king. And so that's how he misses Christmas, is that he's allowing those things to dictate his life, instead of allowing Jesus to dictate his life. I've been following Jesus for many years, 30-some years. And let me just tell you that Jesus is good, and he's kind, and he's not insecure. He wants what's best for me. Even though I may think I know what's best, he has a better vantage point for my life. I just want to say thank you for Jesus for coming into my life. And I want to challenge you this evening before we go into our next phase, that you would think about it. If you're here and you're religious, that's awesome. But I want to challenge you this morning. Don't miss Christmas this evening. Don't miss Christmas. Don't miss Christmas. Don't let fear and anxiety dictate. I'm telling you, Jesus is a good king. And he'll sit on the throne and he'll bring purpose to your life. He'll bring meaning to your life. He'll bring joy and peace if you allow him. And it's just a wonderful life to serve Jesus. So let's close our eyes for a moment. I'm just going to ask you, and as Ian and Alex make your way up or over. Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray, God, and I admit it's so easy to miss you during this busy time with family and friends and food and decorations and shopping and everything from watching Christmas shows. That, Lord, we could be so preoccupied that we would miss you. So, Lord, help us. Lord, help us this Christmas season. Or, Lord, sometimes we would allow fear and anxiety to dictate our spending time with you and trusting you this Christmas. Lord, help us not to miss Christmas. Lord, I pray tomorrow as we celebrate your birthday, Lord, that we would take time to honor you, to recommit ourselves to King Jesus. Lord, we say thank you. Lord, I pray, God, that many, if not all of us, would make that commitment to honor you and not miss it, not miss you this Christmas season and for the rest of our lives. If you want to make sure you don't miss Christmas, spend time with him. Spend time with him. Call on him. If you've never actually submitted your heart to Jesus, do so. Say, Jesus, I want to submit my life to you. I'm sorry for all the things I've done that have rebelled against you. And Lord, I want to trust you and make you not only Savior of my life, but Lord and King of my life. I can't think of a better time to do that than tonight. If you've made that decision, just please come see us, me or one of the elders, and we would just love to pray with you and rejoice with you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.